The religion of ignorance is a reality our brother encounters in many sections of society. Extreme artificiality, extreme artificial speech, in other words, not being natural. He sees someone, for instance, and starts saying in a very exaggerated manner, "Where have you been?" Instead of this, one says sincerely that he has missed that person and thanks Allah that they have seen one another again. This becomes a really candid speech. But he again and again says, "Believe me, I am so happy to see you. You cannot imagine how much I missed you." Are you trying to convince the other person because you lie? They swear they are really delighted to see the other person. What did you expect? Are you supposed to be sad? Of course you will be pleased. But I'm talking about these utterly artificial expressions of emotion. This is an unnatural style of speech that makes people uneasy in many sections of society. Of course, there are also people who speak honestly, and that comes as a great relief to people. Such people say what they think from the heart, but with an artificial person, one just wishes he would stop talking. That kind of talk is really difficult to put up with. If someone you talk to is very annoying, you can be sure he is from the religion of ignorance. But if one listens to him very happily and easily, if his presence puts one at ease, then he doesn't live by the religion of ignorance. I can cite that as a very certain and definite measure, inshallah. You know the kind of people who are really artificial, who use mad gestures and speech as if they were on the stage or reciting verse, for instance, and adopt a really false mode of behavior and put on a very awkward show. That is the kind of bizarre style people adopt while talking about religion. But people who look carefully and are able to check their memories understand immediately what is happening. These people adopt a very strange style, roll their eyes around and do other things. As if one needed a special form of behavior to talk about religion, as if there was a light soundtrack playing in the background, the tune of a flute or an end-blown flute. What need is there for all that? Religion is evidently the reality itself. Someone who is really having a nice time wears a particular expression. But these people are not happy. Not all, but majority of them put on a big show and pretend to be happy. That is a very painful thing. Now, let's suppose you're watching the television and they show you delightful views with animals and plants that are very lovely, but two people are constantly talking. A man and a woman are talking, gossiping, using ugly gestures and artificial movements. They talk to one another for hours like that. But what beauty is there in it? What can they learn from one another? What we have is immoral behavior, artificial facial gestures, embarrassing expressions, answering back, and behavior that I call religion of ignorance, that is incompatible with morality, love, affection and compassion. Instead of that, however, they could be broadcasting excellent statements emphasizing love and affection or very pleasant images. There are infinite number of delightful places in this world, so many lovely views. They could show documentaries or recount historical episodes, or discuss foreign countries, or show cute kids, or excellent people and talk about their moral virtues. That is the kind of thing we should be watching.
Materialist, Darwinist düşünce otomatik olarak egoist ve bencil.
Materialist, Darwinist thinking automatically brings with it egotistical and selfish state of mind. That is a philosophy of selfishness, a kind of who cares what happens to anyone else, so long as I am all right. Mentality develops. Egoism is a dreadful thing. It's really disturbing and oppressive. Selfish communities and selfish individuals. Because selfish working groups adopt a selfish approach, they always strive for their own self-interest. They therefore recognize no rules or bounds. They recognize no law and regard such feelings as beauty, love, compassion, and respect as surplus to requirements. That is why the current economic crisis is able to develop so strongly on such a foundation. Yet if people were to place their trust in Allah, if they saw the good in everything, if they watched out for their neighbor more than for themselves, if they adopted the fine words of the Prophet ﷺ that he who lies down while his neighbor is hungry is not one of us as their guiding principle, a very different environment would result. For instance, alms are not donated. People hardly donate alms. The fact is, however, Muslims protect the poor and do good deeds to people. They especially absolve people of their debts, for example, and forgiving debts is very important. And they do not amass possessions, gold, silver or money, out of greed or a concern for the future. Instead, they use those things on Allah's path because they hope it from Allah. They simply hope to have also in the future. That is why there's currently a contraction across the world, because everyone is holding on to their money and gold. Nobody wants to export anything, and everyone is awaiting the outcome with fear and unease. That is wrong. This means collapse, a complete dead end. It's a sickness. In order for it to be defeated, large sums of money must be distributed to the poor as a matter of urgency and wages must be raised. Nobody must worry what will happen then. Because when that is done, the markets will be revived, meaning that money will enter the state's coffers. No money can enter those coffers if the markets are not revived. In other words, if the state spends money on the one hand, there will be a huge flow of funds to it on the other. Production will go up enormously. Reducing interest rates to zero will have a literally explosive impact. For example, an old, radiant grandfather type. One treats him with affection, helps him cross the street, carries anything heavy he has with him, and gives up one seat on the bus to him. But when someone brought up to be egotistical, selfish and irreligious, sees an elderly person on the bus, say, they prefer to look somewhere else instead. They turn their eyes away on the street. There he is doubled over in pain, and you are young and as strong as a lion, so you should carry his bags for him wherever he wants to go. Isn't that right? Showing love and respect to someone like that will bring happiness with it, and Allah will then bestow strength and joy and happiness. The selfish person may imagine he is very clever because of his egotism and cruelty, but he immediately suffers the recompense for it, like a slap in the face. There is a very selfish and egotistical idea taught by society that has a great deal to do with selfishness and egoism. Never trust anyone, not even your own father. But in the societal model we want to see, everyone will trust everyone else. Everyone will love everyone else. But I go out on the streets and everyone looks so gloomy. Majority of people look gloomy, their eyes downcast. People should look at beauty of all kinds, greet other people and be friends with them. The Turkish nation, this motherland, Turkey with its extraordinary loveliness are ours, mashallah. It's an incredibly beautiful country, mashallah. And our people are most humane. Our nation is normally full of love, if it feels trust and respect and feels itself to be safe. Nobody freezes to death in Turkey, or only very rarely. The municipalities always provide a solution. So why all this greed? For example, some people complain of having no money to buy meat or cheese, while those who do eat meat and cheese complain that these things have clotted up their arteries and raised their cholesterol levels. I wish I had known before, they say, and not eaten all those things, while people who subsist on vegetables wish they had eaten more meat. Yet, there is a secret in all this. Someone who lives on vegetables, who eats spinach and leeks, for example, imagines that these are very bad, yet Allah bestows good health through them. People who live in rural areas always have rosy cheeks and more healthy. But it is also, of course, important for there to be social justice among people. It is important that Islamic moral values should develop. Our Prophet ﷺ says that he who goes to bed on a full stomach while his neighbor is hungry is not one of us.
Romantik demek gerçekçi olmamak demektir.
Evet.
Yani being romantic means being unrealistic. We see this in male-female relations. Girls are more intelligent and realistic, but they are regarded as romantic, but it is really men who are romantic. I'm talking about the majority here, or those from a particular section of society. Girls deal with men like dealing with lunatics. You see fully grown, hairy great men weeping like babies. They cry and go down on bended knee and beg, write letters and light candles, like lunatics. This is really primitive behavior. They write letters, stain them up a bit, and say that came from their tears. It is hard to find the words to describe such people. A huge great man is left with no more sense than a plank of wood. But people are normally honest and genuine. When you look in someone's face, you want to see their true face, hear their real voice and real words, and learn their true ideas. But we see grown-up men behaving like films from the 1940s. Their movements slow down, they behave differently, their expressions are different, everything about them is artificial. Their tone of voice is artificial. They try to make others feel sorry for them. They walk around in the rain as it pours down on their heads just like lunatics. For one thing, romanticism is highly amusing. It is both very amusing and also terrible torment for people to pose like stage actors. Play roles, hide their true faces, use entirely artificial gestures and facial expressions, and act a part with an artificial language and words, just as if they were on the stage. It is also very difficult to talk to such a person. I see that a great many people are artificial. A rational person fiercely avoids artificiality, but it is really disturbing to talk to and watch someone who is completely artificial. Some women also behave in that way toward men, and men behave in an artificial manner toward women. A great big grown-up man will weep like a woman, behave really oddly, and speak sentimental words. And that really annoys and upsets the woman. A woman may engage in artificiality when she sees a man who is wealthy, even though she doesn't really like him at all, if he is reasonably attractive and has a car. She will say that she is completely smitten by him, that this is the first time such a thing has ever happened to her, and the poor thing will be taken in and shortly made to do all her bidding. For example, there is a real plant, a violet, say, and an artificial violet. The latter is sold and made of plastic. People use artificial plants in a great many places. In other words, they try to imitate the real violet. They try to imitate the real love, to do something concerning love in the same way as a stage actor. But the person involved immediately realizes the true state of affairs, and when you ask her why she loves him, she will say for his car, home, or good looks. So there is clearly nothing there resembling love, because it is obvious that when he loses his looks, when something happens to them, she will hate him and immediately leave him. So why bother with all the acting? But that is how they deceive some poor souls, and they believe it all.
Bazen öyle tipler görüyorum. Yani hakikaten görgüsüz ve cahil ama
I sometimes see some really bad-mannered and ignorant people with rings in their ears, razored hair, t-shirts, talking loudly in the latest slang. Really very peculiar, mumbling their words with a Walkman or whatever in their ears. Let them wear t-shirts and listen to their Walkmans if they so choose. Looking ultra-modern in their own eyes, they are really totally ignorant and ill-mannered. It is none of my business how they shave their heads. If that is what they want, let them. But it's really primitive of them to imagine that this is modern. Because being contemporary means being full of love, compassionate and affectionate, modest, careful of what one says, realizing the importance of one's words, paying attention to cleanliness, not disturbing other people, loving everything created for the sake of its creator, being amazed by plants, flowers, children and all beauty, protecting such things and seeing the intricate aspects of all. That environment will inevitably come about when people use all the means made available by Allah, For example, if one uses air conditioning and the television, it means that he is enjoying the requisites of the age. In other words, people generally behave logically because logic is taught to people from all sides. Their mothers tell them to come to their senses and be logical, that they must be very unintelligent if they try and help everyone. They give them lessons in logic. Most families are very logical. Most, not all, and my apologies to the rest. But materialist and Darwinist families base most things on logic. For example, if something illicit is going to be done at work, if you decline to join in, people will ask, what makes you so honest when everyone else is at it? They will let you to be logical and make you do whatever it is. One has to behave very sincerely and candidly. Once that is done, it might cause that person to get into trouble, to face problems. I mean, honesty is not such an easy matter. It might cause a person a lot. I mean, the cost of dignity, decency, honor is high to pay. One should accept to pay for it. People get constricted with logic. Their tongues and teeth become impacted from behaving logically. Note how their eyes become one single point. They contract like a wood louse because of such logic, self-interest and gain. They contract terribly because they imagine that the slightest error they make will have a harmful impact on their interests. But generally, when people are sincere, this conflicts with their logic. I have already described this. They evaluate the situation not according to their sincere feelings, but with intelligence. They wonder whether to behave logically or else heed the voice of their consciences. Behaving logically, they end up in serious trouble. There are always problems in logic. They should act according to their consciences. A genuine person always acts according to his conscience. Of course, people who act according to their consciences encounter difficulties. Honesty is difficult, not easy. Honesty brings 1,000 troubles with it. People can avoid these troubles by using their logic, but it makes things worse, as then the real problem reveals itself. But these are all sweet troubles. For example, a car hits someone, knocks him down. All the other cars drive past, but leave the man there. You pick the man up and carry him to hospital. Then the police ask if it was you that killed him. This has happened to many people. So be it. I will pick the person up for Allah's sake. He will say, and you do whatever you will. If necessary, he will even be arrested. But that person should never be left there. Or imagine a man who attempts to kill a woman. Another man merely looks on. That woman has to be saved, no matter what the cost. What should happen? So is he just going to sit by and watch? Recently I have seen such an incident. A poor woman and the man had drawn a knife. They broadcasted it on the television. The man is plunging the knife into her. Everybody around is watching. What does that mean? I am unable to understand. In order to save that woman, one can resort to every measure. Everything is permissible there. You strike his hand with a piece of wood and kick the knife away, and it is all over. Why prolong it? They went to save her after she had been all cut up. I saw it on the television. There were lots of people around, but nobody lifted a finger. What kind of harm can there be here? Can one just sit by and watch? Or one could move in quite politely and say, you want to tell him something. You can tell him that there's a truth you want to say. This is all very reasonable. And then, watching over his moment of headlessness, you can move in and take the knife from his hand. What meaning is there in that poor woman being all cut up? So many similar incidents take place. Why? Because people prefer logic to good conscience. Worldly desires and self-interest, acting in the light of logic, cloud a person's reason. For example, one wants to help a poor person, but logic says if you give him money, you will be impoverishing yourself. So it is best not to give him any. He may say, I will behave logically and doesn't hand over the money. He then spends that money to cover his treatment costs in a hospital. But still he thinks he did the right thing, and it was just as well he did not give it away before. He uses logic there, in other words. Lovelessness has enfolded the world. Nobody looks anyone else in the face. And this is not the case only in Turkey. There is a wide-ranging lovelessness in Turkey. Anatolia is fine, but people in big cities such as Istanbul, Izmir and Ankara are more strangers to one another. But in smaller places, in villages, there is of course a warmer and friendlier environment. But abroad, even in villages and small towns, people are strangers to one another. They even never make eye contact. There is no love. Allah has deprived people of true and deep love, which is like taking someone's soul away, and neither love nor anything else remains, meaning that people are hollow inside. They make shopping, for instance, in contact with the shop owners. Those salesmen already have a difficult job. They are in great difficulty in that shop. It's a very troublesome, very difficult, aloof environment. You can go and say hello, ask after them, get them on your side. Those people need love and friendship. It is unacceptable to enter the shop in a rude manner and scold the people there while negotiating. Love and affection should be the guiding principle everywhere.
Şimdi insanda, insanın kalbinde Allah aşkı olmayınca, Allah aşkıyla etrafa bakamıyor. Allah aşkıyla bakamayınca tutkuyu ve sevgiyi kaybediyor. İçindeki o muazzam gücü kaybediyor.
Now, when there is no love of Allah in people's hearts, they can't look around them with love of Allah. And when they don't look around with love of Allah, they lose passion and love. They lose that enormous power within them. When people lose love and passion, a terrible emptiness results, and they are replaced by suffering, fear, worry, tensions and doubts. In order to escape that suffering, people use drugs or cocaine, other dangerous substances that cloud their minds and give harm to their bodies, and the outcome is naturally very bad. May Allah spare us, they collapse both mentally and physically. They sometimes end up in jail or are excluded or oppressed by society or commit crimes under the influence of those drugs and then say they have no knowledge of them when they come round, but they have once committed them. That is no justification, of course, and this is a national disaster, a huge threat. We need to oppose this very seriously as a society. We need to call people to the moral values of the Quran, to draw people to that lovely embracing love of Allah, to tell people of the beauty of profound love and passion. We must look at everything with the love of Allah and see everything as a manifestation of Allah and must take living happily as a basic principle. We do not have faith in order to be happy, of course, but we are happy because we have faith. That is also very important. What our society needs most of all is love. There is lack of love in our society, and everyone who steps outside it can see. There are a great many glum faces, I exclude all of them, but there are a lot. People do not look one another in the eye, but avoid one another. A real fear rules. They avoid looking at one another out of a fear of the other asking what they are looking at, or giving them harm or something like that. Their soul's ability to delight in beauty has also declined. Or some people have very little of that left and it is even disappearing entirely. We need to be good role models here, ensure that our nation and society love one another, cause them to feel love, affection, compassion and forgiveness, bestow a feeling of union and unity on them, and give them a sense of security. We need to trust people, and not be searched from tip to toe when we enter a shop, as if we were entering a prison. There should be no need to even search inside our bags. People must be able to look freely at and talk freely to one another, to be free to greet one another. What our society needs most of all is love and trust. Leading members of the community must also inculcate love and trust, rather than enmity and hatred, and need to indoctrinate everyone along those lines. Not knowing real love is a terrible sadness. Allah has inflicted a terrible scourge on people in the end times. Love has been taken away from so many people. A catastrophe, a terrible scourge has been casted upon people, but they are unaware of it. I mean, if love has gone from people's hearts, then everything has gone, and their souls have been ruined. People's souls have been hollowed out. But the majority of people are unaware that this has happened. There are now imitations of love. We see in films how a woman is given a ring ring and how happy that makes her. But that is really degrading for a woman. I mean, her feeling love throughout that diamond. Whereas if she felt love through his taqwa, his moral virtues, his closeness to Allah and his sincerity, that would make her very happy. But she feels happiness from that diamond. But 2 days later, that love comes to an end. So now he takes her to a restaurant and she's happy again. These things are not love, but copies. True love is the profound and powerful pleasure that stems from regarding everything as a manifestation of Allah. People have an ineffable sixth sense, and this is known as love and passion. This has been taken away from people, but they are unaware of it. You cannot describe seeing to someone who is blind from birth. They cannot know what they are being given. One can only know by comparing it with something else. But when true love is taken away from someone who has never experienced it, they do not fully experience the pain of it. There are some people who protect stray dogs on the streets and take them home, but who throw their own old people out on those same streets. They see children going hungry and do nothing about it, but who are really protective when it comes to a dog. When you ask, they say that they are very pure of heart, which is why they are so protective. But what use is that kind of purity of heart?
Savunmasız bir kadını dövmek ahlaksızlıktır ve adiliktir.
Yes, it's utterly immoral to beat a woman, an innocent, defenseless woman. It is appalling behavior, utterly low-grade and not brave. Rather than proving someone's superiority, it actually shows how inferior and vile they are. The signs of superiority are intelligence, moral virtue, kindness, intelligent speech, and appropriate behavior. Since when did stupid, mindless behavior become a sign of superiority? In that event, elephants, crocodiles or bison would also be superior, as they can also lay a human being out with a single blow. An elephant can pick someone up with his trunk and smash him to the ground. But that doesn't show its superiority. It shows that it's an animal and reveals its animal behavior. But other people have money, food, and drink and wealth. In brief, everything. But they are still unhappy. That food makes them unhappy, as they regard it as a source of little cholesterol. They simply see them as a nuisance. They are always terrified their house might go up in flames, or be taken away from them, or of going bust due to the economic crisis. They are unable to shake off such fears. They send their children off to school and they worry about them. What if they have had an accident? What if something has happened to them? They are really troubled. They feel something in their eye and wonder if they have got cancer. Something happens to their lip and they wonder if they've got cancer of the lip. Is that lump a possible tumor? Is that pain appendicitis? They're in a constant state of fear and worry. Not just for themselves, but also for their families. So their nerves are always shot to pieces. They either smoke all the time, or are difficult and aggressive, or else they start taking drugs. That is very common across the world, as you know. It's especially the main subject in America. There are very few people who don't take one form of drug or another. This is very common, from the people in charge of the state right down to those at the bottom of the public. Every aspect of life becomes utterly hellish. They even become afraid to drink water, scared it will stick in their throats or something. But the other way, they will be totally at ease. Otherwise, a person's worldly troubles will never end. It is impossible for Allah to give him peace. Just the fear of an earthquake is enough to spoil people's lives, as you know. People are always terrified of the prospect, and at the slightest tremor, they rush out into the streets. The slightest movement in bed, and they begin running downstairs. Is that normal? Then there is a fear of fire breaking out, of anarchy and terror, of disease, or of going mad. The list would contain thousands of items. Human beings are weak entities. They cannot bear so much fear. The end result is sickness. Whereas, if they were to place their trust in Allah, they would live in abundance, plenty, peace and security. Knowing that one is under Allah's protection is a precondition of faith. That means one cannot believe if one doesn't trust Allah. This would be a very abnormal situation. They imitate happiness, They talk about how much they enjoy themselves somewhere, whereas they really had a dreadful time and hated every minute. They go to discos, for instance, and jump around like apes, but their sadness and unhappiness just jumps around with them, because the sorrow is in their brains. They throw themselves around but cannot escape it. Let's leave this disco and go to another one, they say. They imagine they will be happier there, but their troubles are inside them and just accompany them there. They cannot work it out. Eventually, they decide to go home and breathe a sigh of relief, kicking the front door open. Their troubled state of mind never leaves them. They try to sleep, but they cannot. Nothing ever pleases them. They see an attractive person and that makes them really envious. Yet a believer is delighted to see an attractive person. He gives thanks to Allah. He wants that person to be even better, even more attractive. Those other people see someone rich and it really upsets them. For example, it lifts the spirits to go somewhere nice, doesn't it? Beautiful things make one happy. We see the artistry and manifestations of Allah. That delights us. But this is not the case with these negative types, with negative people. Everything torments them. Wealth and beauty in particular cause them awful suffering. For example, if a girl is irreligious and hypocritical, it will make her unhappy to see a pretty girl, or an ugly one, or an ordinary one. That will make her unhappy right through the day. This also applies to men. For example, if they see someone flashier than them, it makes them very miserable. That's why they're always trying to get the better of one another, and that lies at the heart of their immorality. They say things designed to put one another down and to cunningly get one over on each other. The result is a fight and hatred. That is why I describe these things in such detail in my book, The Religion of Ignorance. People have very cunning ways of getting one over on each other. There are open ways and covered ones. Ones that don't make themselves apparent. These secret methods represent 99% of the whole, and the open methods are 1%. These people have turned into machines that just oppress one another. Like Satan, they try to crush other people wherever they see them. Whereas believers strive to make each other happy and at peace when they see one another and are made happy by their beauty or wealth or health, and they want these things to increase even more, and Muslims are truly delighted by this. There are some people who are constantly afflicted by a fear of cancer. The slightest thing, and they imagine they must have cancer of the brain or leukemia. They keep checking their lymph glands or necks. They check their bodies. What a dreadful life. Then they worry about the possibility of earthquakes, or war, or famine. Is logic the reason behind their worries? Logic, of course. They think they are being very rational. They say they are thinking of the future. They imagine they are very on the ball. But if they are so on the ball, how come they are in such a dreadful state? Why are you suffering so much? Don't they think? They live with the suffering that comes from not placing one's trust in Allah. For example, they may earn a lot of money, but they always worry about what if the checks stop coming? What if they cannot make more money? What if their factory goes bust? What if someone stretches their car? Or will the children come back safe from school? What if a car hits them? Yet that person will still think he is the cleverest person in the world, even he has closed-circuit cameras installed to keep an eye on his children. There are cameras everywhere. That is really difficult, a really difficult life. They still believe in Allah. There is still some element of belief in Allah in their heads. But they cannot bear the secret of the test. That is, at one point they cannot persist in their belief. For instance, everyone gives thanks to Allah when they sit down to a nice table. It pleases them. When guests arrive, they give thanks to Allah and say what a nice place this is. But what happens if a lump falls on someone's head? They will lose all their beliefs in Allah on the spot. But that's a test. Who knows what wisdom lies behind the lamp falling on that person's head? Maybe it will bring him to his senses or make him think about Allah. Or maybe Allah uses it as means of neutralizing someone who is mad. Perhaps it will increase his level of religious devotion. Allah will make him more perfect. Allah knows the wisdom behind it. That's why it is essential for people to know the essence of the secret of the test and to behave accordingly. They must think about it day and night on the existence of Allah and this matter. These are generally people with a feeling of inferiority, and that is a terrible thing. It crushes and burns most people. People are ashamed to have religious devotion in some places. Sometimes they are embarrassed to pray or to fast, but not, for example, to be sexual deviant or immoral. They have no shame over sexual deviations and even boast about them. Yet some idiots are embarrassed to say that they perform their prayers, that they're Muslims. So they go off and become Masons. They think that being a Mason will free them somewhat from those feelings of inferiority. But that's not enough, and they go and become Darwinists and materialists, and deny paradise and hell, and the angels and the jinn. They establish a bit of equilibrium, and when they mock religion, Allah forbid, a little bit, they imagine they can be totally freed from that inferiority. But the disgrace degrades them even more, and certainly degrades them in the eyes of believers, inshallah. We are told in the hadith that there will be such a time. Rasulullah says that 70,000 religious scholars will follow the Dajjal in the time of Hazrat Mehdi a.s. Before the coming of Hazrat Mehdi a.s., that may be, they may be some of the people from that community. Some of them may have embarked upon that scourge out of ignorance or headlessness. But some have embarked on it deliberately. It is a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because it's a feature of the end times. But all these abnormalities will be isolated and a clear, pure and unsullied conception of Islam and the Quran will rule the world. The matter will be firmly established with the coming of the Messiah aleyhisselam inshallah.
Çocuklara dini anlatırken tabii böyle gerici ve tutucu insanların uslubuyla.
When they tell children about the religion, they do so using a very backward and conservative language and mindset. And that is very terrible. It's not the religion at all. It's an unbelievable scourge, what they describe using such terrifying, restrictive, unhealthy and improper language. I am very fastidious about respect towards Allah. For example, when talking about Allah, may He forbid, some people use a very shameless and sometimes even hypocritical style that is improper with respect to religion. It amazes me. They even make jokes about religious matters, jokes about the hereafter, paradise, and hell and the angels. They laugh about them with other people. I believe people making such offensive jokes should be immediately humiliated, made ashamed and sent to the right about if necessary. Because this is a terrible rudeness and lack of good conscience. It's the most barefaced effrontery to make jokes about Allah and religion and the most terrible hypocrisy. They also tell a great many jokes about religion. That is very widespread. It's a disgrace, a sin, and utterly vile, and will attract a terrible response. They should avoid that at all costs. It entertains nobody and makes Muslims very uneasy. It wounds Muslims and is a vile thing to be fiercely